Good to see everybody here this morning. If you would, you can be turning into your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, where we're going to be here this morning. Been going through the book of Ephesians. Give everybody a moment to get there, including myself. Ephesians chapter 3. And we should stand for the reading of God's Word. 3:1. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto this holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of this promise of Christ by the gospel, wherein I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifest wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith." Well, anyway, let me ask you this. How many out there liked a good mystery? You like good mystery? Anybody like good mysteries? Well, you know what? We have a mystery right here in chapter 3. And so let's just kind of go over what we've covered already in the book of Ephesians before we get into it, though. Ephesians is a study about the church. And who is the church? Well, it's all the believers who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the church. And chapter 1, God's Holy Spirit has come in. Once you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he has sealed you. So you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Amen. And so Paul describes the church here in chapter 1 as the body of Christ, as the church. In chapter 2, Paul described the church as the living temple of God. And you notice there in Ephesians 2:22, if you look at that verse there, it talks about that the believer is the habitation of God through the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit of God is in you, amen? So you are a living temple made without hands. And so the Christ Spirit lives in you. So what is this mystery that Paul is talking about here in chapter 3? So let's get started. It says in Ephesians 3:1, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given unto me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when you read, you may know, understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit." So the dispensation of grace that he is talking about is that period of time, what we call the church age. That's what it's talking about. And Paul is saying that this dispensation of grace of God was given to him, right, to give to you Gentiles. So in other words, this is a very personal letter. We're Gentiles. You know, Gentiles, anybody's non-Jew. In fact, he started this letter by saying, you know, all those who were faithful in Jesus Christ. So it's very, when you read the Word of God, you ought to take it very personal. But man, when you read Ephesians and he says, this is for you who are faithful in Jesus Christ, he's definitely talking to you. And so Paul's in prison for you. You want to think about it that way. Amen. Paul's an apostle. He's uniquely chosen by God for the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And he's in prison for preaching the cross and for preaching this mystery that we've been talking about. And somebody may think, well, this mystery is dealing with the grace and faith. It is not dealing with that. Grace and faith is always involved in the salvation of man. It was not God's grace that was being revealed here. It says there in Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known unto the men, the sons of men. And they knew about grace. They knew about faith. So that is not the mystery we're talking about here. This mystery was first revealed directly from God to Paul. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, 11 and 12, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was it taught. I taught it, but by the revelations of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ revealed this mystery directly to Paul. It wasn't something from some man. It wasn't something he made up. It came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wants you to know how important it is for you to know this mystery. It's you, the church. He wants you to understand it because it's important for us to understand this mystery that he's talking about, which in other ages was not made known in the sons of men. And so if you would, look up Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. And we're going to go towards the end of the chapter there, starting verse 25. And he says there in 16:25, he says, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and a preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." This mystery kept secret before the world began. "But now," verse 26, "but now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all the nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." See? So this was a mystery until the death of burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. But now it's made manifested for all nations to be obedient to this, okay? They're supposed to be obedient to this. And it says, "And that and Gentiles should be fellow heirs." Of course, this is not just to the nation of Israel, in other words. It's for all nations. But let me go back to our text here. It says, Ephesians 3:5, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. When I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power." So the mystery of Christ, it says here, is that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. So the mystery here he's talking about is what he's been talking about before. He's talking about the body of Christ. The gospel, the cross, makes this possible. The Gentiles and Jews should be of the same body. And Gentiles should be partakers of the promises, you know, share some of those promises that were given to the nation of Israel. Now, do you understand why the Jews may be just a little upset, right? Because, you know, God made all nations to be obedient to this. It's been manifested to all of them. All nations are included. It's not just the nation of Israel. They were supposed to be the ones in the center of God's plan, but they had rejected Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it says in Matthew 19:15, it says, "The chief priests answered, 'We will have no king but Caesar.'" That's a bad thing to say, amen. I mean, God should be our number one, amen. Jesus Christ should be the King and Lord of our lives, all right? Obviously, we're supposed to do what the government tells us to do, but not put it before God. And so Acts chapter 7, the stoning of Stephen, is the ultimate rejection of Christ. The first person introduced right there is Paul. That is when Paul shows up. It's right there at the end of chapter 7. And Paul is the one that God says he would send to the Gentile world. You know, Paul is, man, he is God's pit bull, is he not? I mean, think about it. I mean, he, one Jew, single-handedly, practically, turned the Roman Empire upside down and inside out. And the more you think about it, the more you have to be amazed at the toughness of Paul. I mean, Paul was whipped, three times to the very point of death? I mean, he had like almost 120 whip marks on him. He was beat, I think, three times with rods. He was stoned to death. Or at least, practically, they thought he was dead. He shipwrecked. I mean, this one Jew, in spite of the suffering, the beating, the whipping, the shipwreck, he never stops. You know, he never slowed down. He never gives up. He just keeps preaching the gospel, even here in prison. He's preaching the gospel. I mean, there are Christians today who just, if you look at them wrong, they're offended and they leave. Amen. Right? You just say the wrong thing and they're upset. I mean, can you imagine how would the world look like if all Christians were like the brother Paul, amen? I mean, what a difference. It would make a difference in this whole world. I want you to look up Colossians chapter 1. You're not too far from there. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at this mystery again a little bit, what he talks about here in Colossians, because Paul writing here in Colossians chapter 1, 25. And it says in Colossians 1:25, he says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifested to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here it is, drum roll please, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. I mean, I can't explain it, how God, the Creator, is inside of me. Amen? And in fact, let's go back to our text here in Ephesians 3:8. And before I get there, now the body of Christ is something totally, totally unknown until the writings of Paul, okay? I mean, it's not in the Old Testament scriptures. It's not in there. Isaiah didn't write about it. Zechariah didn't write about it. Jesus Christ didn't talk about it. Peter did not talk about it. Why? Because it was something that was really totally secret in the mind of God. It was hidden. It is absolutely not in the Bible anywhere except in Paul's writings. And you see the body of Christ being revealed when you're reading through the Word of God, when you get to the book of Acts. In fact, the church begins in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit of God comes down. All right? Right? And some one of these days is going to leave just as fast as it came down. Amen? Amen? Glory to God? I mean, it was there. It was there in form because after the cross, right? It became a living organism when the Holy Spirit of God came down in Acts chapter 2. And the Lord chose to withhold revelation about that mystery until he calls out the apostle Gentile, for the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. It was there, but they didn't understand it all. Paul goes in the Old Testament. He proves the truth was dormant in the Old Testament, even though it was not made known to the writers. The writers didn't even know about it when they were writing about it. They didn't see the church. In fact, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see these verses here. 1 Peter chapter 1, 11. 1 Peter chapter 1, 11. Let's go to 10. He says, of which the salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So they said they were searching for it. They were looking at it. They saw that what they was writing, there was something there, and they were looking at it, right? Look what it says in verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And you know, you read through the Old Testament, you'll see there they'll talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was coming, the Messiah who was going to be suffering. There'll be a little comma and it jumps right into the suffering part. And they said, what's going on here? They didn't realize that comma represented 2,000 years of church history, amen, where the Holy Spirit of God actually comes in and indwells the believers. But they're searching for it. Look, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they minister these things. So who's revealed to us? That all nations at this time should reveal it. So you can go back to Ephesians, but I want you to see that even the writers themselves, when they're writing that, didn't necessarily see this thing called the church, this mystery that he's talking about here. It was unknown until the prophets, until Acts chapter 7, and that's where the apostle Paul was sitting there. And in fact, the apostles were in it. They were in it before Paul was, even though they didn't know they were in it, because Paul's the one who reveals it. You know, something can exist before you know about it, amen? It doesn't mean it didn't exist before. Like, you don't know what's in my pocket, but if I pull out my keys, now everybody knows it's revealed. But it existed before. And the same here with church. The church started at Book Acts when the Holy Spirit of God came down. They didn't understand it all at that moment. Just like you, when you first get saved, you don't understand all the stuff. In fact, I don't know, as long as you are Christians, there's some things you don't always understand, amen? There's plenty to be learning from the Word of God, because it's infinite, amen? You're looking into the very mind of God when you're looking into the Bible, amen? And so they didn't understand it. And there at Acts 7, when they stoned Stephen, and there's Paul, and God calls him out and says, hey, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. And he reveals to Paul, this is the church. And this mystery is the Holy Spirit of God and now dwells in you the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, amen. And it says in Ephesians 3:8, he says, and to me who was less than the saints of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? You know, the unsearchable riches of Christ will humble you. Amen. I mean, his peace is past finding out. His joy is unspeakable. His judgments are unsearchable. His love is unquenchable. His greatness is infinite. And he himself is past finding out. Amen, amen, amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Glory to God. Amen. And it says in Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men set that what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, have been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator. Amen. Amen. And how sad that men reject the creator. Amen. They reject their Messiah. They reject their Savior that God has given to us. But the good news is that believers can have fellowship with the creator. That should blow your mind. Amen. Think about it. You can actually talk and have a relationship with the creator of this universe. Your creator. Do you know that any other group of people that have that kind of privilege? The mystery is that Jesus Christ, the creator, through the Spirit, lives in the believer. I don't know how to explain that. That's the mystery part. How can you explain how the creator of the universe, who expands the whole universe, is you, inside of you? Not you, I mean inside of you, amen? You gotta watch how I say things. Sometimes you slip your tongue, right? But you know what I'm saying? And he says here in Ephesians 3:10, he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See? According to the internal purpose. God has a purpose for why he's doing things, which is he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. We have boldness and we can go right up to the throne of God. Amen. We don't have to tremble and fall down and stuff like that. But we can go right up to the very throne. He's given us that access because of this mystery. Therefore, I desire first that you faint not at my troubles, that for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, in other words, here is a man. Now think about it. He's in prison. He says, don't be worrying about my troubles. I'm going to be praying for you. You know what? I think if a lot of us took a lot of attitude like that, a lot of our problems would be a whole lot littler. Or Jesus Christ would just go ahead and take care of him. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to sometimes get our eyes sometimes off of ourselves and on what other people. Here is Paul. All the troubles that he's going through. Here he's in prison. He says, hey, don't be worrying about me. Let me get on my knees to pray for you. Paul, the Apostle Paul. What an example for us that God has picked for us to follow. Amen. His boldness and the way he went out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, we have a spiritual family. Because of this mystery, because the Holy Spirit of God is now living inside of us, we have a family. Amen. Not only on here on the earth, he says in heaven. He didn't say in the grave, amen. It said in heaven is where our family's at, amen. And now when we leave this old world, we have a family up there in heaven. In this life, we have a family on earth. Why? Because we're connected because of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. Because of this mystery that he's been talking about. We are connected through that spirit, amen. Glory to God. And sometimes we need to think about that. We are a family, right? And he's praying. And now he's going to have a, this is his second prayer in this book. He's going to pray for us. And I want you to go through this and listen to this prayer while he prays for you. And that's who he said he was writing this to. Amen. This is a prayer for you. Take it very personal. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might of his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you be being rooted and grounded in love, may it be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, what a prayer that Paul is praying for you here in Ephesians. Amen? I mean, strengthen you with the might by the spirit of the inner man. The inner man is Christ that dwells in our heart. And it's by faith. See, faith is the key. Amen? Is it not? Faith is the key to living by faith and living what God tells you. That's the thing that's going to give you the strength. Even when you say, oh, that doesn't sound right, so no, I'm going to go what God says. He'll give you the strength to do it. Amen? That faith is the key thing. And Jesus Christ has made himself home in the heart by faith. He dwells in you. See, that refers to a personal, relationship. You have a very personal relationship and you got a new roommate. Amen. You have a new roommate. How is your relationship going with your new roommate? You haven't grieved him, have you? Are you getting along okay? All right? I mean, you don't want to grieve your roommate, right? You want to be rooted and grounded in love. Isn't that how we want all our families to be? And if Jesus Christ is now living in you, you should be trying to learn how, you know, two can't walk together unless they agree, amen? And if you guys aren't agreeing, you're not getting along, there might be some problems, amen? And you got to realize, your roommate, though, is rich. He is very rich. I mean, God wants us to know how much He loves us, and the love is beyond comprehension. Comprehension. See? And Christ is not only in you, but Paul wants you to know the fullness of God. And he says there in 3:20 and 21, now unto him that is able, you know God's able, amen, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. See, Jesus is not only able, but he's able to do exceedingly, okay? Sometimes I'm able to do some things, but not very exceedingly, all right? He's able to do exceedingly. And he's not only able to do exceedingly, he's able to do abundantly, all right? And he can do it above abundantly, more than you can even think or say, amen, or ask about. The world that he has is so big and has so much potential, it should blow your mind, amen? See, if that does not give you confidence, I don't know what will. I mean, this should be really a motivational prayer when you're praying it. Amen? This verse should motivate everyone to go and do all they can for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is working in us. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power. And you know, we used to work down here in Ford on the motor line down there. You know, and years ago, they had a little line run through there, and it said, if the quality isn't right, you're not getting it right, pull the line, you can stop the line. Now, if you know anything about Ford Motor Company, they don't want that line stopping for anything. Amen? You ought to see the way them guys start running if you stop the line. And they're not going to be very happy with you. But we were down there on the line, we all went around saying, we have the power. We have the power. Right? You got the power, amen? You really do have the power. You have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, the creator of the universe. Think of the power you have in you, amen? You have the power. So why do we go around as defeated Christians? You have the power of the creator of the universe. Your horizon by faith is endless. You should be looking for a world without end. Why limit yourself? Remember that Paul is praying for you. He prayed to give you strength and comprehension. And I don't think we comprehend. We don't really comprehend, do we? What God has given you, the power and stuff that he's given to us, and the life we give. Just live by faith, follow him, amen? Why do we let sin and self-doubt mess us up? So easily stumble us up. So this week, let me encourage you, go back, reread that prayer, and put it into your life, amen? Think about the death that he had and love he has for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. A world without end. We keep talking about the end of this world. Yeah, the end of this evil world. But the ages to come. There's ages to come. Amen. God continually reminds you, this is not the end for you, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen.